You know, it's great to hear manifestations of the Spirit. You know, the words that God has for each of us, you know, here in this group of believers, and the things that He has to encourage us with. And as simple as it was for each of us to speak in tongues, to interpret, or to prophesy, you know, that's the way we should endeavor to live every day. You know, by speaking the things that God puts in our heart to speak, by that Spirit. And, you know, it's that Spirit of God within us that really is everything in our lives. It's our all in all. It is completely everything that we need, you know, to live this life and live it more than abundantly, because it grants us that ability to communicate with our Heavenly Father, to live in His presence. You know, it enables us to do that. And the greatest way is, like we mentioned earlier today, you know, this morning, about speaking in tongues. You know, how that speaking in tongues, the reality of what that manifestation does for the believer is so far beyond what we could ever anticipate God doing for us. And yet He's done it with something so seemingly, by the five senses observations, foolish and nonsensical. You know, to speak a language that you really don't know, and to continue to do that, not knowing what you're saying, and to really believe what the Scripture says, that that's building you up in your most holy faith, to enable you to continue to do the works that Jesus Christ did, and greater, be ready for them, you know, to have the faith to do them, you know, to be ready at any given moment, to be able to speak for God, to speak those things that God puts on your heart to speak, so that you can straighten someone's leg, or, you know, heal a blind man, or raise the dead. You know, these are things that God has called us to, and yet Christianity wants to sweep them under the rug and say they're no longer available because they're afraid to do it. Now, we cannot be afraid to be the sons and daughters of the Most High God. We just can't be afraid to be who God's made us. Not who we want to be, but who God has made us. Who we want to be may be, you know, not quite up to snuff, up to par with what God has said He has made us, each one of us. You know, and when we speak in tongues, we realize that there is no reasons that are legitimate to have any fear of anything or anyone any longer, because we really and truly are the sons of the Most High God. You know, He has made us this. You know, and most people are so consumed with their shortcomings that they never get to the place where they really walk in the righteousness that they are in Christ. They're so consumed with their flesh and how stupid and frail it is, and how unable it is, and how dumb it can be sometimes. So consumed with it that they never really walk into that place that God has called each one of us and said, I want you to sit here with me. I want you to sit in my presence. Oh, but you don't know who I am. What do you mean you don't know? What, are you crazy? He knows exactly who you are. And yet He has said to you individually, each one of us, come and sit with me. Come and sit with me. No, 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 no. Not way on the other end of the throne room, but here on my right side. Sit with me. And in sitting there in God's presence, there is great authority. There is great privilege. And it has nothing to do with our flesh. So why should we be concerned about it? God isn't. It says in Ephesians, if we look at Ephesians chapter 1, says in verse 4, according as He hath, and this is the reason why, you know, verse 3 says He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. That we should be holy and without blame. Not that we make ourselves that. We can't make ourselves that. People have tried throughout the centuries, and ever since Christ showed everyone how they could walk, what it was possible to be as a human being, as a son of God, everybody's tried to make their flesh line up with that. And yet Christ was not concerned with his flesh. He was concerned with only one thing. And that was what God had made him. And the privilege and authority that God had given to him by giving him that Spirit. You know, he has made us lovely and holy before him, right? Holy and without blame. That's what he has made us. So why should we be concerned about our unholiness in the flesh? If he's made us holy, spirit in the Spirit, then why should we be concerned? I think the Spirit trumps the flesh. You know, it's like in a good card game, you know? If you're holding the ace of trumps, you win. That wins everything. And it's the Spirit that he has placed within us. It's our sonship that trumps that flesh. The inconsistencies, the shortcomings of the flesh. They're overcome by that Spirit that dwells within us. No longer upon us, but within us. And because he has made us holy and without blame, verse 5 says, predestinated us to the adoption of children. He has made us his children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. This was something it delighted God to do. It delighted him to make you his son, to make you his daughter, and say, come and sit with me, fellowship with me, talk to me, bear your heart to me. I know life in the world, it can be pretty rough. But you have great hope. You have me. I'm your Father. To the praise, verse 6 says, to the praise of the glory of his grace. This is what we focus on. The glory of his grace. And that doesn't mean that we, you know, that has to look a certain way. Right? We cannot praise God perfectly without the Spirit. We can't worship him perfectly. He's not looking for flesh worship. He's not looking for everybody in the congregation to raise their hands, stand up, raise your hands, look like you're praising God. Regardless of what's going on in your heart, you can look like you're praising God. But that's not what God's after. He has seen that since the beginning. Since he had to throw the man and woman out of the garden, he has seen people trying to look like they were worshiping him. And yet they weren't really able to do it. Not until he fulfilled what he was seeking. Right? Like Jesus Christ said. You know, he seeks those that will worship him in spirit and in truth. Not just going through the motions in the temple, and then going through the motions in the cathedrals, and then going through the motions in the mega churches. He looks for the heart of the man and the woman to utilize what he has given to them. And that is the Spirit of God. That is Christ in us. It enables us to worship God perfectly, to really praise him for his grace, to really do it. And every time we utilize that spiritual ability, it delights our Father. Wherein it says he has made us accepted in the blood. We're acceptable. He's made us acceptable. Things that we do in our flesh are not acceptable to him. But what he has made us in Christ is completely and totally acceptable because it is holy and without blame. Therefore, we're acceptable. We come into his presence and he says, how are you, my lovely and acceptable child? He doesn't ask us where you've been, what you've been doing. You know, those are questions, you know, that he asked the adversary. Not you. Remember the record in Job?
Yeah.
The sons of God were in the presence, in God's presence, all the angels. I guess they were having a meeting with Jehovah. And in walks Satan. Where you been? What have you been doing? He's never asked a believer that. Ever. Especially those of us in Christ. Never will he ask you where you've been, what you've been doing. Jesus Christ didn't. He never asked anyone that came to him. Right? I need this. My servant is sick. I am lame. I am blind. I need. He never once asked, well, where you been? What have you been doing? His only response to them was, if you can believe, all things are possible. Can you believe? You know, and if we believe what God has made us in Christ, then we walk into God's presence knowing that our shortcomings have nothing to do with his willingness to accept us. Because he has made us lovely and acceptable. He has done this. And we have got to, you know, get to that place where the things that we have spiritually in Christ, in our own understanding, in our own conscious will, totally trump those things that we find ourselves in the flesh doing that aren't pleasing God. Because God doesn't want to look at it anymore. That's why he made us holy and without blame, and therefore lovely and acceptable. He has placed his spirit within us, and that spirit is its spirit, but it is holy. It's holy spirit. Holy Spirit cannot reside anywhere but in a holy place. You know, this earthen vessel may be stupid at times, but God has still made us holy. And without blame. Without blame. That's in, you know, that's amazing what God has done. And it's that spirit that we have that we need to be consumed in our thinking about. You know, that's who we really are. I am no longer just, you know, Don Granero, son of Joseph Richard. Son of Joseph. I forget what his middle name was. It's a long line of Josephs. Good Roman Catholics. I am no longer that. I am a son of God. And God accepts me because of what he has made me. And he proved it by putting his spirit within me. That token of our holiness, that token of our eternal life, that token of a life eternal as a son or daughter of the Most High God. Not a servant, but sons and daughters for all eternity. You know, so why should we be consumed with our stupidity? You know, when we do get stupid, and all the Word of God says is, you know, when you sin, just confess. Confess that you are stupid. And, you know, God's faithful and just to forgive that, and let's move on. God doesn't want us stuck in that stupidity mode. He wants us locked into that sonship mode so that we can do the works that he has called us to do and bring the light of his word to a world that is really floundering. You know, to be bold enough to speak is my prayer for myself. To be bold enough, fearless enough, frank enough to say what God wants me to say. And we never will get to that place unless we're totally focused on it. Right? We're not going to be saying what God wants us to say if all, you know, for 8 hours a day we're focused on what's going on out there in the world. We'll be ready to say what everybody else has said as they're focused on those such things that are stupid out there in the world. The world's a mess. Always has been. Right? Think of the mess that Israel found itself. They were under the Caesars for much of their history. The Caesars. You never knew what was coming next. One was just as crazy, corrupt, and sick as the next guy coming. You never knew if you were going to be able to walk down the street, you know, and be free to do whatever you wanted to do or not. You could get thrown to the lions. What a sick place to be under that kind of world domination. And yet God never told them to focus on that. God encouraged them just to speak what I have for you. Be my sons and daughters. Be those Christs in this world, wherever you are. The uttermost part of the earth. Here we sit, the uttermost part of the earth. From their perspective, when the apostles, were first told that, this would qualify for the uttermost part of the earth. From their perspective, it's like, wow. Or down there in Australia, the uttermost part. So, what a great privilege and calling God's called us to. We need to just focus on that with great humility, with great confidence that these things really are so. That what we see with our five senses eyes is not necessarily the truth. But what we see through the eyes of the Scripture, the church epistles that address who we are in Christ, is clearly how we are to see and perceive life. That we are sons of the Most High God. We are holy and without blame before Him. He accepts us because of what He has made us, not because of the things that we do. And when we do that, it's like the focus becomes more clear. It's like Ashish likes to say sometimes, I needed my windshield cleaned off so that I could see more clearly. You know, it's like I've been going through a bug storm. You know, like I went through, love bugs from Florida to here, and I couldn't see, but I needed my windshield cleared up. Seeing your life as God sees you keeps your windshield clean. So you know where you're going, and you know how to get there. And you can do the things that God has sent you to do. Each one of us. So that's my encouragement this morning for you guys. All right? So, God bless. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.